I'm glad I'm saved. Isaiah chapter 65, we're going to read verse 1 through 5 together in unison. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 1 through 5. We're reading from the King James Bible, so let's all read together in unison, shall we? I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this subject, holier than thou. Verse 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Dear God, again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for church this morning. I think about Dorothy. I thank you, dear God, that she was faithful. She loved you. I thank you that she loved church. She loved the Bible. And I thank you, Lord, that she's with you right now. And I thank you, dear God, that those of us who have trusted you as our Savior, our hope one day, not just a hope, but we know it's the blessed hope that we're going to have to be with you, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And again, I pray that you bless the family, comfort them, Lord, and be good to them. Bless Brother Willie. Now, dear Holy Ghost of God, please meet with us. I pray that you bless this Bible study, this sermon this morning. A little unique, but I pray that we'd pay attention. We wouldn't be a disturbance. We wouldn't create a disturbance. I pray we'd pay attention on purpose. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God talks about people in Isaiah 65, verse number 5, who claim to be holier than others. And God says that these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. You're going to be shocked, I think, about what the Bible says about holier than thou. Hold your place there. We're going to come back to Isaiah at the end here, but turn to Luke chapter number 6 with me, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 6. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 6. Starting at verse number 20. Just like your father, it's okay. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 20. And the Bible says in verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Now watch verse 22, please. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall, watch this, separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, if you were here for Sunday night service, I preached on be separate, saith the Lord. And that's a doctrine that's not being preached and taught in most Bible-believing churches today because too many people are easily offended and they won't come back. But God's command is to be separate from the world. We ought to be different from the world. We ought to think different from the world. We ought to look different, dress different, act different, talk different from the world. But most of God's people are rebellious against God, like we read in Isaiah 65, verse number 1 and 2. And yet these same people are calling the other people religious hypocrites. The rebels are calling people who want to live for God holier than thou. But in Luke chapter number 6, the Bible says here in verse number 22, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. You know, if you lived right, you wouldn't have to worry too much about what I preach Sunday night, because the world would separate themselves from you. I said, if you lived right and did what was right, the world would stay away from you. You know, it's an amazing thing. Not anybody has ever asked me to go to a beer party in the last 20, 30 years. No one's ever asked me to go to a movie theater in the last 20 or 30 years. No one ever asked me to go to a pot smoking party in the last 20, 30 years. No one's ever asked me to go to a rock and roll concert in the last 20, 30 years. What I'm saying is, if you do that which is right, the world will separate you from their company. If you have the world's company asking you to go out all the time to live for the devil and live for the world, you have a problem with your associations with the world, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention. Verse number 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Look at verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. That's strong language. So when the world separates from you, you ought to rejoice. When the world hates you, you ought to rejoice. When the world criticizes you, you ought to rejoice, because that means you're doing something right for God, ladies and gentlemen. Get your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And verse number 10 and 11. Matthew 9, verse number 10 and 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Verse number 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? This is the complete flip side of what you heard Sunday night. Pay attention. You heard a lot of preaching Sunday night about being separate from the world. That's still in the Bible. I stand by everything I preach on Sunday night. But I stand by everything I'm saying this morning about what God says about reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you do that, you're going to reach some unsavory people, ladies and gentlemen. I remember one lady came visit our church. I'm going back 20, 25 years ago, and she looked around, and she said, came up to me afterwards and says, you got quite a rough crowd here. Well, that's what you get when you meet people on the street, ladies and gentlemen. And 20, 25 years later, looking at the crowd, it looks about the same to me now, amen? Looks like a rough crowd, amen? That's what you get when you meet people on the street. That's what you get when you meet drunks or prostitutes or people on welfare or people on projects or people just getting out of jail or prison or people who are thinking about committing suicide. That's what you get when people are high. But that's exactly what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And he gave us the same commandment. So here's what happens. You listen to me good. The false religious crowd that criticizes us for being holier than thou don't want to go where we go. They don't want to go to the projects where we go. They don't want to knock on the doors where we knock on. And they don't want to talk to the people that we talk to. And they don't want to bring those people to church like we want to bring them to church. But yet it's the rebellious crowd that would call us holier than thou. You're going to learn something from the Bible this morning about the fake, phony, fraud, religious crowd that calls the old-time religionists holier than thou. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. You see, when you go soul winning, you meet people that are so far away from God, they're in trouble, they need God. But you know what I've always noticed? The evangelical crowd, the people that don't believe a King James Bible, they don't go soul winning. You know what I noticed? They don't go street preaching. You know what I noticed? They don't run vans and buses to pick up people from the projects. But they'll sit there and criticize us for being holier than thou, when the truth of the matter is, God says to those rebels, you're holier than thou, when you're rebelling against God and against the word of God. Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 1. Matthew 22, verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of God is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You know, like God's people, they don't want to come Sunday night. They don't come Wednesday night. They don't come adult Bible study. They don't come Sunday morning. Just whenever they get a chance or have an opportunity to come, they might fit it into their schedule, you know. Contrary to Hebrews 10:25, verse number 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. You know, they got nice properties. They live out in the suburbs. They got to take care of their house, their barn, their property. They're too busy for church, you know. They got to take care of their cars. They got to take care of everything else. But they're too busy for God. You know what I'm talking about. You know. They said, come unto the marriage. Verse number 5, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his arm. And God's still mad today, by the way. God's still angry today. God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. You better listen. I know this is not very popular to say, but don't you think that God isn't doing what he did in Florida and Texas, ladies and gentlemen? I'm just telling you, it's not very nice. You say, that's not very nice, Pastor. I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. And America's been rebellious against God. They kick God out of the school. They kick God out of the homes. They kick God out of the churches. What do you expect? What do you expect? You want the power and the blessings of God without obeying God. Okay. You go ahead and live contrary to God and get HIV, AIDS, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Then blame God because you disobey God for getting all those diseases. You go ahead and disobey God and break the law and break the rules, end up in jail and go to prison. Then blame God for you disobeying the very word of God. Is anybody here this morning? Is this working? Is this on? Then you have the nerve to criticize a preacher for being holier than thou, maybe, you know? Okay. Look what he says, verse number 9. Verse 8, then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find. He didn't say good or bad. He didn't say find only the good ones. He didn't say find only a certain color. He didn't say find only the rich ones. He didn't say find only the responsible ones. He didn't say find only the ones that have cars. He didn't say find only the ones that have marriages or families. He said, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Who gives you the right to decide who should listen to the gospel? Where in the Bible gives you the authority to distinguish who you think needs to hear the gospel? You know what Jesus said? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I said every creature. And anybody that refuses to do that, who claim to be religious, I'm telling you, they're holier than thou's. They claim to be religious. They claim they love Jesus, but disobey the very words of Jesus Christ. They are holier than thou's. Well, last question, when's the last time you knocked on somebody's stranger's door? You personally, when's the last time you personally knocked on a stranger's door? When's the last time you handed a gospel tract out to a total stranger? When's the last time you invited somebody to Jesus Christ? When's the last time you invited somebody to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? Take your Bible, please, with me. Turn to Luke chapter number, I skipped one verse. Look at verse number 15. Matthew 22, verse number 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. That's why the Pharisees killed Jesus. They hated what he had to say. Luke chapter number 14, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. All these religious people, they sit so piously in their church pews, you know. They sing some songs. They listen to some liturgy, you know. They cross their chests and cross their hearts and hope not to die, you know. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything about salvation. Maybe if they go to a Baptist church, they sit in a pew for 1 hour a week thinking they've done something for God. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But you know how we are. We invite people for our parties that we know they're going to invite us to their parties. Contrary to what Jesus said. And I'm not saying you shouldn't invite your friends. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you shouldn't invite your relatives. I'm not saying that. But we have this mentality, I'll give you a gift because you're going to give me a gift. I'll buy you a card because you're going to give me a card. I'll be nice to you because you're nice to me. You know how immature and selfish that is? You know how vain that is? You know how self-centered that is? You know what Jesus said in verse number 13? But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. I can't do that, Pastor. That takes too much work. And they won't appreciate it. You're right, but Jesus will. See, you like your self-appreciation, and you want people to love you instead of you loving others. It takes a lot of hard work to help people that are not going to help you. It takes a lot of hard work to help others who don't care about you after you've helped them. Because you're looking for somebody to love you, you're not looking to love others the way Jesus loved us before we loved him. You know what I'm talking about? Verse number 14, thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. You know, your property is more important than God. You know, it takes up all your time. You got to cut the grass and cut the weeds and put the flower bed in and stuff like that. You got to decorate it, make it look pretty. So when people pass by, they say, wow, look at all the work and look how beautiful it looks. God, I don't have time. I got to take care of this property I bought. Land doesn't move. Ain't going anywhere. It'll be there after Sunday morning church. It'll be there after Sunday night church. It'll be there after Wednesday night. But you're so caught up with yourself. You care more about yourself and things than other people. Verse number 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. He said, you know, I just bought these 10 oxen. 5 yoke is 10 of them. He says, you know, I got to make sure they're okay. They'll be there after Sunday night church. They'll be there after Wednesday night church. They'll be after Sunday morning church. But that takes all your time. Your work takes, you know, when you miss church because you choose to miss church to make extra money, you got a problem with God. You got a problem with God. Now, if you got to work, I understand sometimes you have to work. But if you choose to do that, you have a problem with God. Verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife. This is the honest, most honest guy. Therefore, I cannot come. My wife won't let me come. You know, the wife just pulls him out of, by the ear. We're not going back to that church. You know what he says about women? We ain't going back to that church. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know how many men have stopped going to a good church because they got a rebellious wife pulling their ear? I ain't going back there. Verse number 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. When's the last time you've done that? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Yeah, but Pastor, they smell. Yeah, well, you smell when you were born and somebody had to wipe your rear end and change your diaper. It's okay for somebody else to do that for you, but it's not okay for you to obey what Jesus said about loving a neighbor who's on their way to hell. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. You care more about your stupid cell phone and your video games and your computer and your laptop and your social media than you're concerned about souls going to heaven. And the Lord said unto the servant, verse number 23, this is what Jesus is saying. Do you read the Bible at all? Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Highways and hedges and plead with them and beg with them and compel them to get saved. Pastor, I'm just too busy to do that. No, you're just too disobedient and rebellious to do that. Just be honest, please. Don't tell me you can't do something Jesus said you can do. I got to tell you this much. It was a blessed day that somebody from Grace Baptist Church knocked on Dorothy's door. It was a blessed day when they got on the van and started coming here and bringing her kids and grandkids to church. You sit there all piously, criticize a preacher, criticize a Sunday school teacher, criticize the standards. I'm telling you, those are the ones that are holier than thou that don't love people. Because if they love people, they'd reach people. They don't, it's a fake, phony, fraud, religious face that they're putting on. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 30, the Bible says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat with and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke chapter number 7, verse 39, now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Gasp! Oh, some woman was touching Jesus who was a sinner. Oh, you don't want people touching you because you're holier than thou. Yeah, you don't want some bodily fluid or sweat or somebody who smells or stinks, hadn't taken a shower or a bath for a week, come into contact with you because you're holier than thou. And you say, stay away from me. And God says you're a smoke in his eyes. While you're criticizing the old time religion, you listen to me good. God says you're a smoke in his eyes. Because you don't really care about people. Because if you cared about people, you'd reach people. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know your loved one's going to die, when they're going to die. Your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your dad, your mom, your relatives, your neighbors. But one time you haven't opened your mouth and told them about Jesus Christ. Let them get mad at you, but tell them. Luke 15, verse number 1-4. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Yeah. If you lose something of value, you're going to search all day, all night, all week to find it. You're going to retrace your steps and say, where did I drop it? Where did I lose it? Where's my phone at? Where's my money? Where's my wallet? But when it comes to souls, you don't give a flip. When it comes to eternity, you don't care where they're going to go. Holier than thou's. They act religious. They act pious. They twist some scriptures to their own use. And they criticize the old-time religion. Luke 15, verse 28, and he was angry, would not go in. The prodigal son and his brother, remember the story? The good brother. He got mad at the father because the wayward, backslidden son, rebellious son came back to the father. And the good one said, the Bible says he was angry, would not go in to share the good news that his own brother had come back. That's how a lot of God's people are. They're not for reconciliation. You know what? You better thank God that God reconciled you back to him, but you don't want to reconcile with your husband or your wife. You don't want to reconcile with your son or your daughter. You don't want to reconcile with your dad or your mom. You don't want to reconcile with your sister or your brother. You don't want to reconcile with your husband or your neighbor, your coworker. You don't want to reconcile because you're a holier than thou. You think you're so much holier than somebody who needs God. And you say, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to be with them. I don't want to be around them. And God says, you're a smoke in my eyes. Is anybody here this morning? Does the sign say Baptist outside? Did anybody change the sign? Luke 18:9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Acts 22:21-22. And he said unto me, to Paul, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this world, and then lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They wanted to kill Paul, saying, he doesn't deserve to live. You know why? Because Paul was preaching the truth, the whole counsel of God. And they didn't like it. They hated it. And that's why Nero beheaded Paul. You know what Jesus said? Rejoice. Proverbs 30:12. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Jude 18:19. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These are they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. They separate themselves, Jude says. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. 1 Peter 3:8-18, but I'll skip verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here's what God said. He said, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you have an answer from the Word of God of why you live the way you live? Or do you just blow up and leave when somebody asks you a Bible question? When somebody, as kindly as they can, pinpoints you in a corner and asks you point blank, well, what do you believe about this Bible chapter and this verse? Or do you get mad and say, I don't want to talk about it? Oh, but you're religious. You're religious. You come to church. But you're a holier than thou. And you get mad at somebody who just proffers a question. You get mad at somebody who just opens up a discussion about the Bible. My Bible says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I have no plans on changing my preaching. I have no plans of changing my standards for anybody. I have no plans on changing my direction in life. I'm planning on going full steam ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to preach the whole truth of God, the whole counsel of God, and trying to win as many people as I can, whether you like it or not, whether people like it or not, whether the majority like it or not. It won't bother me. John 17:13-20, but verse number 15 says, Jesus praying, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We talked about Sunday night about being separate from the world. So God doesn't want you taken out of the world. He just wants you being separate from evil. But he said in verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You better thank God that God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into the world to die for our sins so we could be saved. But the same way God sent Jesus into the world, he sends you and I into the world. But the holier than thou says, I'm not going there. I'm not going to that neighborhood. I'm not talking to those people. Oh, I'm not talking. Oh, no way. It's not safe there. Yeah, you know why? Because you're holier than thou. You're full of yourself. Number one, we are to be separate from the world. Number two, Jesus doesn't want us leaving this life for any reason until he's ready for us. Number three, we are here to try to win the loss and reconcile the backslidden back to God. Number four, we are not to try to chase people away purposefully. Number five, we should try to win everyone we possibly can. Number six, we should try to reconcile everyone we possibly can. Number seven, God commands his people to be separate from the world. Number eight, God commands his people to stay away from wicked and evil people. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't reach him soul winning. You shouldn't just have, you just shouldn't have fellowship with them. Point number nine. God never commands his people to never have anything to do with the lost people. Let me repeat that. God never commands his people to never have anything to do with the lost people. He says to always invite them. He says to feed your enemy. How do you feed them without being close to them? Your enemy. Point number 10, we are to live separate and apart from the world. Number 11, but we are to go into the world to work, shop, interact, etc., and use those times as witnessing. Number 12, you should preach, teach, and live such a way that the world will separate from you. 13, if God's people just lived right and did right, the world would do most of their job from separating from you. You wouldn't have to worry most of it. Number 14, we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't care what their nationality is. I don't care what their ethnicity is. I don't care what their color is. God said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Number 15, Jesus was invited to other people's houses that were lost and not necessarily following him. Number 16, Jesus conversed with unbelievers and exchanged conversations with the publicans and tax collectors. Number 17, but Jesus never fellowshiped with them, nor was he personally close to any of them. Number 18, there is a time to come together and there is a time to separate. Number 19, the holier-than-thou crowd is usually the ones that criticize fundamentalists for being legalists. Number 20, it is the fundamentalists that go into all the world, poor neighborhoods, projects to preach the gospel. Number 21, but it is the evangelicals, the lukewarm believers and unbelievers that refuse to go to those same areas to preach the gospel. Number 22, I cannot think of one person that I would walk away from a conversation or a discussion about the Bible or truth as long as it was a civil discussion. But it's usually the babies, the immature, the insecure, lukewarm evangelical crowd. Those are the ones who walk away from a frank discussion concerning the truth. Number 23, a person who does not want to discuss truth and abruptly leaves like an irrational, immature brat is one who tries to stay away from people who bother them with truth. Hence, they falsely accuse the truth bearers of denying the truth that they refuse to come to grips with. Number 24, a person who does not shy away from discussing the truth is one who is not holier than thou. 25, study after study has revealed that people will not come to the aid of someone because of his or her racial profiling or because they do not like their standards or their conviction. The holier-than-thou attitude rests squarely on the individual who criticizes someone who has higher or better standards than themselves, listens to their arguments, and walks away in immaturity. Closing comments. It is usually the Bible-believing Baptist who is not ashamed of Jesus or the King James Bible. It is usually the evangelical or unsaved church person who wants to distance themselves away from Bible believers. That is because they do not know their Bibles and or they do not know the Savior. So instead of wanting to know the Bible more and or to know Jesus, they refuse to have contact with Bible-believing Baptists because their conscience is convicted by their sin of either unbelief or being rebellious against God and his word. It is the Bible-believing Baptist that is willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people. It is the Bible-believing Baptist that goes soul winning. Thank you. It is the Bible-believing Baptist that goes street preaching. It is the Bible-believing Baptist that enters the projects and knocks on doors that most people would never go to. It is the Bible-believing Baptist that gets rejected at the doors by the wealthy and the rich and the religious snobs who refuse to want to hear anything about God from those that they detest because it bothers their conscience. And that same crowd that calls us holier than thou should be looking in the mirror, ladies and gentlemen. Their answer is, that is a very personal question. as if they are offended that you care about their soul. They are the ones that refuse to be with you. They are the ones who refuse to talk with you. They are the ones who refuse to answer your questions. They are the ones who refuse to invite you in. They are the ones who call the authorities on you. They are the ones who criticize you. They are the ones who say all sorts of nasty things about you and lie about you to make themselves feel better. They are the ones who get angry over the fact that you left their ungodly church and started attending a Bible-believing Baptist church. The same ones who claim to promote freedom and liberty for each individual are the same ones who want you to shut up and not say anything about Jesus in the Holy Bible. I have no plans on shutting up, ladies and gentlemen. I started preaching this way 30 years ago at the Boys Club. I plan on preaching this way until the day I take my last breath. They are the ones that do not want to bring up Jesus in a conversation. They are the ones who feel awkward and uncomfortable about you talking about Jesus and how good Jesus is. Those are the ones that are holier than thou. It is the left-wing socialists who do not want anyone who is right coming to Berkeley and to other so-called, quote-unquote, liberal colleges to speak. They want you to shut up. They only want to hear what they do not believe. Repeat that. They only want to hear what they do not believe. They don't believe in Jesus, so they like people who mock Jesus. They don't believe the Bible, so they like people who hate the Bible. Their snowflake little minds are so disturbed when they are confronted with truth and right that it bothers them so much that they have to cause mayhem and violence and demonstrations and smash windows and burn buildings and cause street violence and demand their so-called justice to outlaw anyone who is right and truthful from sharing their views. They are the holier-than-thou group who refuse anyone else who does not believe in man-made global warming that is causing damage. I don't think it's global warming that's causing tornadoes and hurricanes. I think it's God Almighty. But they're holier than thou. They are the same ones who refuse to listen to anyone who does not believe their lies of evolution and who is willing to share truth about God's creation. They are the holier than thou group who scream and yell and castigate people who know the truth that the sodomite homosexual perverts choose to be perverts and that they are not born that way at all. And because it bothers their religion of worshiping the earth, and because it bothers their religion of worshiping themselves, and because it bothers their religion of worshiping the devil and their music and conduct and thinking, they hate the fact that you even exist and are able to spread the truth of God's word to others who are willing to listen to you. So the holier-than-thou people want to pass laws to outlaw what they consider hate speech, like this morning, because it makes them so angry and mad. The real holier-than-thou people are either religious people or irreligious people who refuse to calmly sit down and see what God says in the Word of God. They are the ones who separate themselves from God's people more than God's people. They think their pure little ears and their pure little minds will be polluted by the truth from God's holy word, the King James Bible. That is why the King James Bible is hated by most religious schools and theological schools in the world. These hypocrites, religious hypocrites, who claim how much they love Jesus are the same ones who castigate the old-time religion as legalism, when the definition of legalism is being fulfilled by their very own lives. Legalism is nothing more than working for your salvation, or trying to be good enough for your salvation, or trying not to be bad enough for your salvation. That's a work salvation. The Bible clearly teaches that salvation is only by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. But a religious holier-than-thou refuses to even come close to you so that they do not have to deal with the subject of hell or listen to any scripture about any area that they are living contrary to the Word of God and rebelling against God. It's that simple. Reconciliation. You know you should reconcile with your husband or your wife. You know you should reconcile with your children or your parents. You know you should reconcile with your brother or your sister. You know you should reconcile with people who have hurt you personally. But the religious holier-than-thou, who is immature and thin-skinned and easily offended and easily hurt, refuses. They choose to stay away from the ones who hurt them. My Jesus has more love and mercy and forgiveness than anyone who can hurt me in any way. I refuse to be cold-hearted and selfish. I cannot control others, but I can control my emotions and my mind and my attitude and my thinking and my direction in life. I cannot control what others may have said or done, but I can control how I react to sinners sinning. I do not have to like them or agree with them, but even God said I can be at peace even with my enemies. The holier-than-thou crowd is too immature to deal with circumstances and people that bother them. My Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why are you so easily hurt and offended to the point you cannot deal with certain people? And you have to base your life and your conduct to steer clear of anything or anyone that hurts you or offends you. You are too thin-skinned. I like what Dr. Gray said one time. He went soul winning one time, knocking a door down in Texas, I think it was. And somebody came to the door, gave him the gospel, tried to give him the gospel. And they started cussing and swearing, using foul language. I'm telling you, blaspheming everything. And Dr. Gray said, wow, I haven't heard that kind of language since the last deacon's meeting. But you get all puffed up and mad and angry. And you're so hurt and devastated what the words. Oh, I can't believe I heard those words. What do you expect when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? You better expect to listen to those kind of words. You better expect to listen to that kind of language. What do you think about all these missionaries go around the world? They go to heathen lands. You think they're coming and they're welcoming them with a welcome mat? Don't be a religious holier than thou. Don't be a religious hypocrite. The holier than thou crowd gets upset and hurt. And they never go soul winning again because they hurt your feelings. And your holier-than-thou well-being was upset the whole day. The Bible-believing Baptist cares more about the eternity of souls than they do their own feelings and their own emotions. The Bible-believing Baptist cares more about what Jesus said in the Word of God than what rebels spew out of their mouths because they hate God and hate the Word of God. I want to remind you that it was the holier-than-thou religious crowd that crucified Jesus and beheaded John the Baptist and stoned Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament, and beheaded the Apostle Paul. I want to remind you that those fake smiles that evangelical people put on to impress the sheeple quickly vanish when they are confronted with the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the King James Bible. At least you ought to be honest and say you do not believe the Bible. At least you ought to be honest, at least the atheists or agnostics are honest when they say they do not believe the Bible. At least the Muslims and the Hindus and other pagan religions are honest when they say they don't believe the Bible. But how can you claim to believe the Bible and do contrary to it? But even those holier-than-thou religious leaders and followers hate Bible-believing Baptists from sharing the gospel. And that is why they pass laws against Bible-believing Baptist missionaries going to their countries and sharing the gospel with their people. Because they're holier-than-thous. They know that the truth will make people free to get saved and then leave their holier-than-thou religion. So because all these holier-than-thou groups feel convicted by Bible-believing Christians, they try as hard as they can to do religious works to soothe their consciences, to try to prove to everyone how nice they are, how good they are, how loving they are, how charitable they are, how friendly they are, until the day they come face-to-face with you or the truth. And they get upset and angry that even your presence reminds them of their consciences being convicted of their sin and rebellion against God. All you have to do is ask people, well, what about this chapter and this verse in the Bible? What do you do with that? What do you do about it? Then they will give you this long glare and have no answer, or they will parrot what their fake, phony religious leader has said to try to soothe their conscience. Oh, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. Well, I remind you the Ten Commandments were in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean you can kill somebody or commit adultery or lie or steal. We're under grace, Pastor. I'll remind you that grace is for salvation. And God's grace lets you live long enough. Paul wrote, God forbid that I should sin because of grace. So, you know, different levels of the holier-than-thou crowd are amongst us. Not in this church, but in this country. You have the ones that say, oh, it doesn't matter how you dress. To the crowd who says, oh, it doesn't matter if you're a pervert sodomite. We're under grace. It doesn't matter if you smoke or drink alcohol. It's okayed by the holier-than-thou religious crowd because they believe the lie that we're under grace, which means we can sin now. But God forbid you show up with a Bible chapter and a Bible verse to confront them about their callous attitude toward the holiness of God and what God himself said in the Holy Bible. You are the ones they hate the most because you are the vessel of bringing the truth of God's word to them. And that's why they can get along better with the other holier-than-thou rebels who are lost or lukewarm. I am sought of them that ask not for me. Those are the people we find on the streets, the people we knock on their doors. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, my prayer this morning is that we would not be holier than thou's, that we wouldn't be religious hypocrites, that we would love people, but we would love thee and thy word more, that we care about people's eternity, we share the gospel with loved ones, friends, co-workers, and total strangers. Dear God, please bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.